headlines from Yahoo.com. And there's a reason for that. Well, for one thing, we think about Yahoo. Some folks feel that the reason why they call it Yahoo is to take the mick out of us, to make fun of us. Others feel that they're actually something worse, taking, insulting our Heavenly Father. But at Yahoo.com, and I feel strongly that COM stands for Catholics Own the Media. And this is the reason why. And all I'm going to do is just read the headlines. I'm not going to read the articles. The very first headline is, Head of Anglican Church, there is a possibility that we will not be able to hold together. At Canterbury, England, this is the Huffington Post, by the way. And in a lengthy interview, Times London, Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, predicts Anglican, and you can read more if you want. The next one is, Catholic bishops, Obama, gender identity order is anti-church. The United States Conference of Catholic Bishops is criticizing steps taken by the Department of Labor to enforce a presidential executive order. And that's Newsmax. The next one, and I'm not picking, folks, I'm not picking on the Roman Catholics, but I'm just pointing out something that should become plainly evident, that if the main headlines are about this particular organization, there should be a reason for it. Why is that? The next one is, and by the way, I don't download any of these articles, therefore there's no kind of tracking, thinking that, you know, maybe I'm interested in that. I'm just reading the headlines. I never open up any of these. The statue of Mary, Joseph vandalizes a church in Chicago suburb. Reuters. And of course, here we go again with this racist or black and white thing that they want to do with this country, you know, this racist war they want to create. Police protest draws old, young, white, and black. Then the sixth article is reports Pope Benedict's Francis at odds over indissolubility of marriage. Fox, Obama seeks advice on establishing monarchy in New York. And this is the New Yorker, excuse me. And I think I've proved my point. One more. Okay, this is Article 10. So how many of these are the first 10 are revolving around the Roman Catholic Church? Pope cautions against media interpreting his words. Now with that, I would like to introduce the two gentlemen that are going to be part of the show. First is Leon, Leon Petard, and if I'm not saying your last name right, Leon, please forgive me. And Leon has a show called Ferdinkum Radio. He's based in Australia. And then we also have Tom Fress from Inquisition Update. And these two gentlemen have influenced my life greatly, and I feel very privileged to have them both on tonight. And I would like to share a couple stories. First, with Leon. Leon taught me, first of all, he taught me the name of our Heavenly Father and his only begotten Son. And I will be eternally grateful to Leon for that, because no one else would do it. And I know that sounds ironic, but that's the reality of my life. And he has these great articles and presentations in part of his show called The Bread of Life, and I strongly recommend anyone listening to them. I think you'll learn a lot. And then with Tom Fress, Tom Fress was very influential in teaching me who the Antichrist is and what that's all about and why that's so important as followers of Christ that we should know who our enemy is and what we should do about it. So, with that, gentlemen, thank you both for coming on the show. How are you doing? I'd start with you, Leon.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. Thank you, Tom. Great to be with you both. I'm looking forward to our conversation together. And hello to all your listeners from down under in Australia. And to correct your pronunciation, that my website's called Fair Dinkum. Now, I know that's difficult for my US friends because you're not familiar with what that word means. But what that means down under is Fair Dinkum means that you are true, that you are down to earth, and basically, you know, if someone tells you a story and it's really hard to believe, in our country you say, are you Fair Dinkum? And it's like, you know, are you really telling the truth or are you pulling my leg? So that's what it means, friends. Fair Dinkum Radio means that we are Fair Dinkum, means that we are true, down to earth. What you see, what you hear is what you get, right? Thanks for having me. It's great to be with you.
It's my privilege. And Tom, how are you doing?
I'm doing quite well, and I'm looking forward to this little discussion, and many blessings to Leon Picard. I haven't seen you for a long time, and anxious to get going here.
Thank you. Well, you know, I don't want to sidetrack the conversation too much, but I've been researching Australia, our brothers and sisters down in Australia, and it's been a heartbreaking journey today, I have to tell you. And I want to bring up a particular gentleman because what I see what's happening in Australia is what's happened in our country. And I think it is vital information, and I think it's an important thing to talk about a little bit. And now we don't have to spend the whole evening talking about this, but I certainly want to, you know, I want to talk about the Prime Minister of Australia, whose name is Tony Abbott. That's A-B-O-T-T. And, you know, Tony has a couple nicknames. One is he's the Catholic, they call him the Catholic Captain. And the other one is the Mad Monk. And Tony was Jesuitly trained. He's a Catholic. He's a Rhodes Scholar and a liberal politician. Why is that important? When I look it up, Mike, our country, the United States of America, that brings to mind men like Bill Clinton. It brings to mind, in fact, the last four or five presidents, actually. What has happened? When you look at Australia, Australia was known to be a Protestant nation at one time, just as this country was known to be that. And something has geopolitically happened. And I just would like to ask, Leon, have you thought much about it? What are your impressions? What do you think about what has happened? What's happening to your country? And and religiously, what is happening to your country?
Well, thanks, Michael. Let me give a five-minute summary to your listeners of what our situation here in Australia is. Yes, Tony Abbott is a Rhodes Scholar. He has been Jesuit-trained. He is a Catholic by heart and profession. We have one better, though, than that, in that all of the front bench of the government that is in power in Australia now has been Jesuit-trained and or are Roman Catholics. Now, not long ago, last year, there was an article in the Daily Telegraph newspaper in Australia that said, "The Jesuits Now Rule Australia" by Simon Benson. Now, I actually got a hard copy of this article and was talking about it on my show, and since, I cannot find it. You just can't find it online, right? Now, these things, I just don't know, you know, these things happen, but I'm just telling you, this is the way it is, right? Jesuits rule Australia. Now, the kicker at the end of the article was, now, conspiracy theorists would really make a lot of hay out of this article, and to further add to that, the writer of this article was also Jesuit-trained. So that is the reality of the government and the media down here in Australia. The Jesuit influence is everywhere and cannot be underestimated in its connections with Freemasonry and all of the other social institutions of power that exist. This country, down here in Australia, if we, you mentioned in one of your, in your editorial there, speaking of some of your, of the articles, the headlines, we are under an assault by a cultural Marxism down here. In fact, it is my belief that they have largely fully succeeded in controlling all media, in controlling all politics, in controlling all of the institutions of power, education, medical, right throughout this country. We are really, in my view, fighting a rearguard action in the work that we're doing in endeavouring to alert people that aren't totally dumbed down drones at this stage, that still have a measure of grace where they can reach out and search for the truth as God's given us in all of its different spheres. That we are here to try and reach these people to show them that we are rapidly approaching what the Bible calls as the time of the end and culminating in a time of trouble such as never was. Now, I mean, this is our challenge. This is the work that I do down here in Australia, just as I know you gentlemen are doing stateside. Now, it does not matter whether we look at our education system, whether we look at our medical systems, whether we look at the political systems, the economic systems, the cultural systems, the media systems, every single institution is promoting homosexuality, feminism, black-white warfare. Islam and the cultural Marxists have joined together, and together they form a formidable front. So if you like, the left-right concept, I mean, we can talk about it in the conversation, but in reality it doesn't exist, because when they have a common enemy, they unite together to destroy their foe, and their foe is white, heterosexual, Christian people. That is the enemy, because that is the base of your country in Canada, that is the base of the United States Constitution, that is the base of New Zealand, Britain, Australia. The one thing we all have in common, even though we have a different constitution, even though we have here a constitutional monarchy of sorts, it's really been overtaken by a complete legal apparatus, which is like an octopus pariah. There is no real constitutional monarchy left. But nevertheless, that base was based on individuality under God, depending, relying on the blessings of the Almighty God, Yahuwah be his name, right? So that principle is the principle of your constitution, of our country. Today, that has been completely overtaken by a network of complicated rules and laws where our speech, our thought, is being monitored, where Yeshua said, let your yes be yes and your no, no. And when he spoke to the people in his day, he said, you den of vipers, you are sons of the devil. And this is how he spoke to them, right? Well, today, to be able to do that means that you face jail, that you face penalties by the system of Babylon that has been introduced. So, in tidying up my little summary, yes, the highest office in the land today is held by a Rhodes Scholar, Jesuit trained. All of the people working with him are Jesuit trained. We are facing, we are really under occupation, and that's the way I look at it at the time we're in. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty. We have the Word of God that is with us, and if God is with us, who can be against us? And this must be our spirit and our message, to reach out to people who really want to know the truth. And we use all of the things that we see taking place around us to say, look, the Bible said this was going to happen thousands of years ago. Here it is, happening right before our eyes. If you choose to believe, you can be saved from the wrath to come. But if you choose not to, you will receive, you will die, that you will receive death. So this is what we had put for the people, life and death. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. So we in Australia, we are really, I call us the deputy of the United States. We're the undersheriffs. We're building marine bases in Darwin for the military industrial complex. We have Pine Gap, which is a surveillance system in the centre of Australia here, connected with the Five Eyes. So there's lots of different areas of government, but I'll leave it there, gentlemen, and that's my summary opening statement of the situation down under here in Australia.
Thanks, Lan. It's devastating to hear this. It really is, because my heart goes out to you folks, because what you're going through is what we're going through. It's so similar. Hey, Tom, if you could you comment about that and also maybe share with folks about the what's going on here in this country? Because it's so similar. It's like a mirror image of what's going on.
Yeah, I was, intently listening to what Leon was saying, and as he proceeded, count by count, it's a virtual replay of what's happening here in the United States of America. And it's what's startling is the apparent agenda that is global. It's not just Australia, and it's not just the United States. It's the European Union. It's Britain as well. And I'll tell you, it's a hostile takeover of the governments of the world. And what is the most startling of all, since it's so apparent to people like Leon Pittard and myself and Michael, that the Jesuits are the orchestrators of these hostile takeover of governments, that there's not a shred of Protestantism anywhere to oppose it. And it's not even an issue that can be discussed. I don't want to be redundant, but I talk about these things on amateur radio whenever the opportunity arises. And when I talk about the hostile takeover of the United States and world governments by the Jesuits, I get called an anti-Roman Catholic bigot. And not just by Catholics, but by Protestants too. I mean, the blindness is incomprehensible. And I'll tell you, the reason, there are two reasons why there is no Protestant protest against this Roman Catholic takeover of the nations. Number one, they've stripped us of any history of the Roman Catholic Church and how the old world order operated, where the Pope picked all the kings of the earth and he ruled over them, and the kings served the papacy and not the people. The people were tyrannized, they were oppressed, they were suppressed, they were poor, they were uneducated. And everything they did in that feudal system was done to benefit the papacy. Now, all that history has been written out of our school books. It's not even talked about in the churches anymore. I mean, there's only a shred of Protestantism left in this country. And except for like wonderful exceptions like Leon Pittard, there's probably just as little Protestantism in Australia as there is here. They've stripped from our knowledge anything vitally important about the old world order, and that's why Protestants, or evangelicals as they prefer to call themselves now, are unable to see the rebuilding of that old world order. And they simply call it the New World Order. There's nothing new about it at all. And we are at war with Christ's enemy, the Antichrist of the Bible, the papacy, the man of sin, the son of perdition, the little horn, the one who speaks blasphemies against God, the one who tyrannizes and kills God's people. He's guilty of the blood of the saints and the martyrs of Jesus. And history is literally repeating itself, but there's no protest of such a thing today. The tyranny that we are experiencing here in the United States, the tyranny that they are experiencing in Australia, is simply because there is no protest to prevent it. And they've systematically destroyed Protestantism. Number one, by, as I repeat myself, removing any knowledge of the old world order and how the Pope ruled during the Dark Ages. And the second way they've disarmed us is by teaching futurism in all the churches. Futurism excludes the Antichrist to one single individual just before Christ returns. And so everybody is looking off into the distant future for the arrival of this so-called Antichrist, when Antichrist has been in the world ever since the rise of the papacy, killing and persecuting God's people, ruling over the kings of the earth, fulfilling Bible prophecy right before our very eyes. There's no talk of the Protestant Reformation and what it taught people. The Protestant Reformation was built on the knowledge, the conviction, the historical and prophetic truth that the papacy and only the papacy can be the Antichrist of the Bible. It fulfills, it's the only institution in world history that has even begun to fulfill all the prophets of the man of sin, the little horn, the son of perdition, the Antichrist of the Bible. And they destroyed that knowledge simply by promoting in the Protestant churches the Roman Catholic teaching that the Antichrist doesn't come until just before Christ's return. You see, that's how Roman Catholics exonerated the papacy. When they read the scriptures and asked about this man of sin, the son of perdition, the little horn of Daniel, why, it had to be either somebody in the distant past or somebody in the extended future. It can't be the papacy. And so Roman Catholicism has taught either preterism or futurism all throughout its history. But after the Protestant Reformation, when it became apparent to some Roman Catholic monks who left the Roman Catholic Church, I'll name Martin Luther just to be one of them, they realized that it was the papacy that was the Antichrist described in the Bible. And that became the very foundation of the Protestant Reformation. It was neither preterism nor futurism, it was historicism. And to combat that, at the Council of Trent, the Jesuits got together with the papacy and they decided that they had to stop this Protestant Reformation, and the only way to do it was to give an alternative view of an alternative interpretation of Bible prophecy, and that was simply the interpretation that the papacy had always placed on those scriptures, that it pertained to one individual that would not come until the very end of time before Christ returns. And that exonerates the papacy, see? Nobody's eyes are focused on the papacy anymore. And if the Protestant reformers could see what those who call themselves Protestants today believe about the Antichrist, they wouldn't turn in their graves. They would come out of their graves and gather up stones to stone us. Because our belief today in a future Antichrist exonerates the papacy and literally puts into the ash bin of history all the blood that the papacy has shed throughout history, all the martyrs of Jesus, even the Protestant reformers. The Protestants of today have literally repudiated the Protestant Reformation. And that was the very thing that the Vatican realized, that it was time to do Vatican Council II and ecumenism and to unite all Christians back under the authority of the papacy. And look, you know, if you know anything about the Roman Catholic Church, if you accept the spiritual power or the ecclesiastical power of the papacy, then you must accept his temporal authority as well. That authority that says the papacy is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that's the direction our government is going because of Vatican Council II, because the Protestants believe in futurism, have exonerated the papacy. Now the papacy wants all Christians to come back to mama. And that means their governments must answer to the Roman Catholic Church. And that's where we see the government of the United States, the government of Australia, kowtowing to the papacy, and they get that they produced this Islamic boogeyman to help that ecumenical reunion of all Christians to the Roman Catholic Church, and that's why we see so many similarities in what's going on in Australia, what's going on in the European Union, what's going on in the United States of America. The Jesuit-led Counter-Reformation has succeeded. And there's only just a handful of people in the world that comprehend what they've done and how they've done it and what we should do about it. And it's just imperative that we return to true Bible-believing Protestantism and begin to protest this Antichrist in Rome and his Jesuit militia that have taken over the governments of the world and literally, before our very eyes, reassembled the old world order under the name New World Order. It's just as simple as that, and I'm sure Leon would agree with this.
Yeah. Leon, would you like to comment on that?
Yeah, I've got you, brother, yeah. Look, look what's taking place. There is no Protestantism left in the world. The daughters of Babylon have become corrupted. They've drunk the same wine, and they are drunk with the wine of her fornication. That's what Revelation 18 teaches us. And I have listeners writing to me all the time that are still hanging in there in some forms of fellowship with some of the professed Protestant churches, but continually remark on how fallen away they are. Now, it is my... If we look around the world, I mean, we document these things every week. You've got Islam taking a Islamic... calling the blessings of Allah on the Washington Memorial Church there. You've got the Pope in Turkey praying at the mosque and asking the blessings of God upon the mosque. I mean, for anyone with eyesalve on, you can see that the merging of religion worldwide into this new world composite beast that is forming. And if we go back to Daniel and the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, and if we base all of our future prophetic interpretation on that groundwork that Gabriel gave to Nebuchadnezzar and further the understanding to Daniel, is that we see that Rome's influence throughout the legs down to the feet and the toes. Now, it's interesting to note that around the years that the papacy was forming, it wasn't long after that Islam also formed. And if we look, there is two legs on that dream of Daniel 2, which merge into the nations right throughout the whole world. Now, the common thread that I see in Babylon, that we really need to recognize for what it is, that Tom spoke about the Jesuit influence throughout the institutions. They have basically captivated the educational systems over the last generations, right? And what they have done, they have successfully taught children for generations that the seed of Romanism, the seed of Satan, which he perpetuates through a multitude of different institutions and fronts. You know, we could talk about the family and how he has undermined the family through the cultural sex, drugs, rock and roll revolution, right? And how he has completely introduced into society the idea that promiscuity is good and that we need to have HPV vaccines for our daughters because they have multiple sex partners all their lives, and that STDs are just a normal part of living. And to speak against any of these things, of course, you are a bigot, you're a misogynist, you're homophobic, or whatever label, which I don't care what those labels are, they mean nothing to me, because God says, say what it is, right? He said it is an abomination for a man to lie with a man. Is it an abomination for a woman to lie with a woman, or for a woman to lie with a beast? Now, he linked bestiality with this sexual deviancy of the current generation. Homosexuality, pedophilia, bestiality are all sexual deviant activities that in the past have all been outlined in psychological diagnostic manuals, and it was only in the last generation that homosexuality was removed from that. And I did document how all that happened on the website. But let's go back to the actual intent of what Rome is about. I want to read you a Bible text. It's one of my favourite verses in the Bible. It's found in Luke 4, verse 18. Now, Yeshua had been in the desert, and he'd been fasting, and he'd been concreting, if you like, or his mission. He was contemplating what was before him. And he came out of the desert, and he walked into his home synagogue. And I'm going to read it in English the way I think he said it. He said, "The Spirit of Yahuwah is upon me, because he has anointed me. He has chosen me. He has told me. He's given me the commission to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to wound all those that have been damaged by sin, which is all of us. He's come, he's told me that I've come to say that you can be healed, that I can restore you with this power, to preach deliverance to the captives. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we are captive on this world.
Indeed.
We are captive to a world of sin and warfare. The prince of this world, Satan, has made us captive. We are all sin-damaged goods. And this promise, he said, this is for us. He said, I've come to preach, to teach deliverance to the captives and a recovering of sight to the blind, so that you can see Satan's work, so that you can see the way that Satan works through these institutions to bring about his kingdom of warfare, blindness, disease, pain and death. And he said to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year, in other words interpreted, that this was recorded that I would come at this time, that this is according to the time as outlined in Daniel, that I am the Messiah, the Son of Yahuwah. And that, in that verse, we have our commission to help people see the evils of Romanism, to help people see that Satan gives power to the beast, and that when you worship the beast, you worship Satan. That he is the inspiration behind the culture of today. And that God calls us to come out of those systems of religion, those systems of culture, and those systems that are there to enslave us, and to open our eyes to the beautiful truth that he's given us, that we can be set free from the bondage of sin, that we are not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power. It is only by becoming acquainted with the gospel. I want to appeal to your listeners, anyone out there that doesn't know the gospel or the Bible, having a knowledge about the New World Order, about the way that Freemasonry works or Jesuitism or occult systems, having all this esoteric internal knowledge of how all these things work, is only good if you're using it as a tool to help people find the way out and to give people the real answer, which is the power of the gospel. And that, in that verse, he stated what his commandment was, what his commission was, and that's our commission, because he has chosen us to preach the same gospel. And he said, the Spirit of Yahuwah is upon me. If you are a son of God, if you're a son or a daughter of God, that is our commission, to help people to take the blinders off and to show them the eyes of, but not just the esoteric knowledge. And I notice there's a real tendency of this throughout alternative media today, where the selling concept is, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free, but they never lead people to Yeshua the Messiah as the answer. They never lead people to the blood, that we all need to be cleansed by the blood. And then we need to receive that power to live every day, to live a life that is not just pleasing to him, but is healthful and beautiful and is for our benefit as well, and for those around us. So that, Tom and Michael, that's the commission, to help people see the power of the gospel. Yet we've got to expose the darkness, and I do it all the time, but the aim, the reason for doing that, is to lead people to a knowledge of their Saviour, of the King of this, of the Messiah, Yeshua the Messiah, and his Father, Yahuwah, who sent him into the world for the one reason, and that is to save us.
Absolutely. Praise the Lord. What do you think, Tom?
Well, I agree wholeheartedly. I mean, it doesn't do any good to curse the darkness if we're not willing to champion the light of Christ. The answer is Christ. The answer is obedience and adherence to His law. He told us how to live. And we should be a sanctified people, holy and acceptable to God. And by doing that, simply obeying Him, we make the darkness apparent in the world. We should be a light shining in a dark place. But Protestantism has been destroyed. And Protestantism, I believe, is the light in our generation. It has been nearly extinguished. And a return to the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only hope we have. The only hope we have to returning to biblical Christianity. The only hope we have of outshining the darkness. Well said, Leon Pitter.
You know, the other verse I wanted to mention, which I failed to mention when I was talking about John 8:32, of course, is the next verse, where it says, the verse before, verse 31, I believe, where it states that if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You see, a knowledge of the truth is not to say that we have the knowledge of the truth now and that's it, we've got it. It doesn't work like that. The knowledge of the truth, the word of God is given to us as a cleansing power. It is given to us to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of Yahuwah. And by understanding those mysteries, this is not just some mystical, esoteric knowledge that we hold in some dark room that we give out when people pay us. This mystical knowledge is about how the internal science of the gospel works in humanity. It is beautiful. This is the light that He's given us, that He has given us the tools through the Bible, through the scriptures, through the words of Yeshua. He said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are truth." And that spirit, when we receive those words of truth, His spirit comes into our minds and sanctifies the mind. As I was stating before, we're sin damaged, right? All of us are sin damaged because we have participated in sin by choice. We have actively commissioned sin in our lives. And when we've done that, we have done exactly what Eve did and Adam when they chose to allow the words of the serpent, of Satan, to enter their mind. And when they said, "We consent," and this is what we need to understand about the system that's building around us, it is about manufacturing our consent leading up to the final stages of the test, which in Daniel chapter 5 is to bow down to that image and to consent totally to whatever its plan is. And so Adam and Eve consented to allow the words of Lucifer in. So they allowed him to speak in their minds and to be a controlling force in their minds. Fast forward much later, Paul says, we now do what we don't want to do because of this virus of sin, if you like, that has infected humanity. But the gospel gives us the answers. The gospel gives us the answers as to how to overcome that power, how to walk in the light, how to walk as a son of God, as a daughter of God, in victory over those assaults of sin. And this is what Protestantism's totally lost with religious relativism and the whole love everyone message, which of course is true. Love is the whole foundation of the gospel, but their love message is a false love. It is about loving sinners where they are and not saying anything to them, not trying to rescue people from the pits of hell because you don't want to offend them. That's not love at all. True love lays down his life for his fellow man. And true love is seen in the life of Yeshua. We look at his life, and if we follow his pattern, and we look at his example, and we pray for his wisdom, for his words, for his spirit, and we mimic his life, that is the power of God unto salvation. And he called sin for what it was. You look at all of the reformers. John the Baptist, he said to Herod, he said, "You are an adulterer. You've stolen your brother's wife." He cut his head off. Yeshua said, Pilate said, "Are you a king then?" He said, "You've said it. This is the reason I was sent into the world. So they hung him on a cross. Everyone that speaks the truth will suffer persecution. That is our, it is our calling. And this idea that these prosperity preachers, that if you just become a Christian, God will give you all these riches and you're just going to have this easy ride and one day he's just going to lift you up here and take you away. Look at history. That's not the history of God's people. The history of God's people is hardship, difficulty, persecution, jail, Babylon, Satan hates God's people. His aim is to destroy God's people. And God, in his wisdom, Yahuwah in his wisdom, allows this to happen. And this is the science of the gospel that many people don't comprehend. But he allows this to happen for our good. Because the Bible says that we are to be sifted, that we're to be tested in the fire. And believe me, friends, the fire's coming. And this relative dim of peace and the afflictions that we see around us now are nothing compared to the time of trouble that's coming. I encourage our listeners to get faith, get a greater measure of grace in your life. Understand what the power of the gospel is, because in the time that's before us, the only people that are going to be able to stand are those that are infilled with the Spirit of God, that have learned to trust in him, and that new covenant is fulfilled in their lives, where he said, I will be your God, you will be my people, I will put my laws in your heart, and your heart will be changed, it will be transformed into the image of the living God. And that's the process that God's people are going through now, all those that are drinking that water of life that proceeds from his throne.
Thank you. You know, gentlemen, this is a real joy. Not just, you know, to actually, you know, to hear two men who know the Lord, they know the truth, and instead of tickling our ears, instead of passing on fables or gossiping, folks, we're hearing the truth. It's beautiful. It's absolutely wonderful. And I'm not singing your praises. I'm singing my Lord's praises and the fact that you men know our Lord and you're willing to share the truth. And he's inspiring you to do that. So thank you so much. I mean, this is, you know what? We don't have this. We do not have enough of this. You know, going back to, you know, this whole thing about the alternative media and how, I mean, so much of it is just basically gossip. It's, hey, look what I know. Instead of really offering an answer to our dilemma, and the answer is our Lord and Savior. Yeah, Yahshua, Jesus Christ, you know, he is the answer. We have to go back to the basics, and we have lost the basics. So, you know, looking at this article of yours from your radio show, episode, I can't believe it's already now, was it 560-some episodes now? You've been doing this for a while, haven't you?
Yeah. Which one are you talking about? 560, was it?
567, targeting children. And I want to read this, and I have a reason for it, because I'm a single father, and I want to talk about this and how we can deal with this, you know. But I think we know what the answer is, but we'll go back to it. It's okay to be redundant if we're actually talking about the answer. But, you know, this is what the article says, or at least the caption, description of the show. It says, this week we examine the targeting of children by the New World transgender feminist movement. And I know you talked a little bit about it already, but I want to talk more about it. We examined sex between 13-year-olds as is normal. Says a controversial traffic-like tool, as in quotes, the gender identity disorder judge compares incest and pedophilia to past attitudes towards homosexuality. California's transgender student law, children can choose bathrooms, sympathy and science for those who want to have sex with children, vaccines linked to childhood cancers, Satanic Church, the pass out children's coloring books in the public schools, children's friendly Satan statue awaits final judgment. Now, I know I just said a lot in a paragraph, but, you know, as a single parent who's trying to do the right thing, what are we up against? What are they, I mean, this satanic agenda, this soul, we're being hit, you know, as Tom says, or Walter V says, you know, a lot of folks say, it's a total onslaught. And what the heck am I going to do? Well, I mean, I love my son, and how do I protect him from all this madness that's all around us coming from all these different directions?
Well, it's a big question, and look, I don't know, Tom, would you like to speak on this first? Or?
Well, I just simply say that obeying Christ is not going to be the law of this land. And so we have to take a stand. I mean, we have to let go of allegiances to this world. Look, there is a new kingdom coming wherein dwelleth righteousness. And the kingdoms that we are in are the kingdoms of Antichrist. We are opposed by the world. The entire world is designed to silence the gospel, to silence the truth. And we owe but one allegiance, and that is to our King and our Constitution. And our King is Christ, the Messiah, Yeshua. And our Constitution is Genesis to Revelation and everything in between. And we have to let go of this earthly, satanic realm and prepare ourselves psychologically and spiritually and every other way for that new kingdom that's coming. That's
yep.
open
that's it.
For admission right now.
Yep.
And we have to oppose this error.
Mm.
Now, if I were you in the situation that you're in with a young son, trying to raise him in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, where keeping your son away from the corruption that are embedded are really is the essence of this new world order, is going to require what the secular world is going to call rebellion. But rebellion is obedience to Christ. And it's
Absolutely.
Not going to be easy for any of us.
No.
Satan has made it just as difficult as it could possibly be to obey our Messiah. But we have to stand fast in the liberty whereby Christ hath made us free and renounce this slavery, break the bonds of Pharaoh seated in Rome, and defy his Antichrist laws and his Antichrist governments. And we're going to be labeled rebels. And well that I should be regarded as a rebel when I rebel against Satan and choose to obey my Heavenly Father.
And, Michael, the education systems that exist today, specifically the targeting of the children, the aim is to teach the children from as young as possible that sex is just a stimulus response to humanity. In other words, it's just something that you do because it feels good, right? So you've got all this marketing in the background, like, if it feels good, do it, which has been going for many years, which the educational systems are teaching children today that if you are born as a man, a male, that's okay, you don't have to change that, you don't have to stay that way, you can be a female. Now, I've often mentioned to my listeners that, you know, Yahuwah taught me the New World Order in the Bible long before I understood anything like in a lot of the things that were going on out there. And if you just go back to the Bible, right to the beginning in Genesis, when it says that he created Adam and Eve, male and female created he them. Now, in that one statement, you see the blessing of Almighty God in the creation of gender. Male and female. And these were opposite genders that were designed to attract. And so what we see taking place today is every single aspect of Babylon is the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. It is the hold of every foul spirit. And I interpret that to mean that all the words that they are speaking are of the devil. We live in a system and a world of lies. It doesn't matter which level you look at, it is corrupted. If we look at what they say the climate is, the climate change fraud, it is a total corruption from what the Bible teaches. If we look at male and female, this is what God has said that he ordained. He ordained man to have natural affection to a woman. And in the act of sexual intercourse, he ordained marriage as a lifelong commitment between these male and female. And what the world is teaching the children today is that, oh, you can't judge someone if he's born a man to say he's a man, because after all, he might want to be a woman. And so all of the scientific departments of academia, of science departments, of medical systems are all being funded to develop changing a person's gender. And this is the transgender movement of Egypt or Babylon. This is what it's about. It's about taking away what God has ordained as natural and scientifically intervening in humanity. And that's happening through poisoning of food, water, vaccines, the environment. Everything around us is to change what God has given us naturally and to turn it into a scientific system which you must agree to. And so they say today that children from the age of 7 years old, it's okay if they're experimenting with sex of any nature. That's okay. And they've got systems developed to say, well, you know, if that boy wants to go into the girl's toilet, that's okay, because that's really, he's identifying as a woman. And so what we have is the complete, any morality which comes from God and the Bible. The base of morality in society is given to us through Yahuwah's kingdom, not through Babylon. If we go back to Babylon, back to Nimrod, and Semiramis, that is pedophilia, where the production of Semiramis and Nimrod was Tammuz. The woman and the child come out of that relationship. So if we go back to Babylon, no matter what occult systems you study, pedophilia, child sacrifice, sexual orgies are all a part of Babylon. Now, what's the opposite? I always like to talk about how the gospel is the complete opposite. Satan and Yeshua are exact opposites. If you look at the fruits of the Spirit, as outlined in Galatians, it is the opposite to the works of the flesh. And so what is the opposite to that sexual immorality that is taught to children today as being normal? It is the beautiful relationship of a man and a woman in marriage. In private, in privacy, two individuals consenting under a commitment under God, a commitment under God. That's what marriage is, a commitment between two people under Yahuwah as the witness, that not a priest saying you're married, because that's another thing that we've got from Rome, in that they say, well, because we've put a stamp on this piece of paper, that's authenticated this, right? And this is how Rome has used the legal system to take people away from their commitment under God, and how understanding that Yahuwah is, and he and Yeshua are the two witnesses that witness our life and the decisions we make. But we've got governments that have come in and said, no, you need the state to say whether or not you're a man and wife, and the state will say whether or not you can dissolve that, etc., etc. So the family, the sanctity of the family, in my view, and I'll leave it here, is the most important thing that we need to be teaching our people out there today. The assault that we are under as families, because Satan wants to destroy, and he will do that to you men by leading you into temptation. He'll do it to you women by leading you into temptation, in all the various different thousands of different temptations we're all subject to, and you all know what they are in your own heart. No one needs to talk about them. But those things, all those weaknesses of what the enemy works on, to bring about separation, to bring about, divorce. And Michael, you've no doubt experienced, I'm not sure what your situation is, but protect your children. Don't allow your children to be subjected to the internet and to freely just be looking around at all of the different corruption that is out there. The family is what the enemy is really assaulting in this last time.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, this has been a really good, powerful show, gentlemen. I don't know how much time you have, Leon, but I would like, we talked about the answer, the problem, believe it or not, folks. We really did. We cut to the chase and all this. And I'm going to cut to the chase and what it means. What does it really mean? And I know we've addressed it, but I wanted to address it again in more detail. What does it mean to be a follower of Yeshua or Jesus Christ? How does a man define that? Because, the truth is there's an awful lot of quote-unquote Christians and non-Christians who have not been taught properly what it means. And I'd like to hear you live your life as a follower of Christ. What does that mean? What does that entail? And I'll let whoever wants to start first, then go ahead.
Go ahead, Leon.
All right. Okay. Well, let me summarize this. 1 Corinthians 5:12. If any man be in Yeshua, he is a new creature. And what the gospel teaches us is that Yeshua said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He said, you're strangers and pilgrims upon this earth. All of our forefathers, whether we go back before the Reformation, even to the prophets, they were all strangers and pilgrims on this earth, because the prince of this world has captivated this kingdom. And so we belong to a different kingdom. And to me, what it means is this, is that my heart's desire, the things that I long for, is I long for deliverance from this kingdom. He gives me, and he gives any individual, the power today to have victory over sin, and over temptation of sin, and over the power of sin in humanity. He says that we can walk in his kingdom in the power of the gospel through the promises that he's given us. There's a promise for every temptation that comes to man, and he is faithful. If only we reach out and receive those promises at the time of temptation and walk away from that temptation, he will give us victory to run. He says that the devil has no power over us while ever we receive his spirit and his grace. So for me to be a son of God and to walk in his kingdom means that I commit my life to his kingdom, to his work. And that means to be sowing seeds in the morning, to be sowing seeds in the evening, to be looking out for my fellow man, to tend to my wife, who is my first responsibility, to love my children, who is my first responsibility, then to reach out to the extended family of humanity in whatever sphere I can. Because God's given us all different gifts. He's given us all different knowledge from our previous life's experience. And he uses that to help us bridge the gap between women that are lost and walking in death, and for those of us that are walking in life in his kingdom, he says, go and find them. And so that's what his people, that's the work of the sons and daughters of God, is to work for his kingdom, because the marriage is coming between his people and the Lamb. And if our lamps are not full, if our lamps are not lit and burning, and we do not have oil in our vessels to prepare us for the time that is coming, because there is no more oil that is going to be dispensed soon, the time will come when the numbers are made up according to the time. And we will go through a time of trouble, and all those that are God's people will be saved through that time. They will go through that time of trouble. And he says, my people will be delivered. Now, many will lay down their lives. But that is the cost That is the cost. And when you understand that death is but a sleep awaiting redemption, the final fulfillment of the redemption when the Messiah returns, it is nothing. Death has we have no fear over death when we understand the gospel, because our future is in his hands, and we have trust and confidence that Yahuwah will fulfill his promises, because we know by experimental knowledge that he's fulfilling them now in our lives. You see, if we don't know that, we're going to be fearful for the future, right? Because we don't know what that experience is. But when we know what the power of the gospel is, when we know that those promises really mean what they say, and that when I call on them, I get this extra measure of grace, extra measure of spirit, more Bible, more promises, more spirit, more power. That's the way it works. It's a scientific reality that when you lean upon the promises of God, he gives you grace and strength to overcome sin. And he says death has no power over you while you're receiving these promises. So even if I physically die in this time in which we live, even if we are persecuted and hung or quartered or whatever it is, it means nothing in the light of eternity, because this ground is but the prep school. And so that's what it means to me to be a son of God and sons and daughters of God. We work for the blessings of our Father. I want to teach people about what my Father's character is like. I want to teach them what he is like in comparison to Satan. That he is the exact opposite. He has a kingdom of life, health, natural beauty, and all of the beautiful things that he's given us around us in nature. He's given us as tools to learn about his Godhead. He said they are revealed in the things that are made. So we see the enemy's destroying everything through his scientific systems. We know Yahuwah will restore everything through his power and his grace in his time. So that'll be it for me, gentlemen. I'll leave my conversation there. But Michael and Tom, that's what it means to me, to be a son of God, to be drawing on that power, and not to be ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation.
Thank you. Tom?
Well, we're all sinners, born in sin. We're all contaminated by sin. And we have to be washed by the blood of the Lamb who died for us and shed it for our cleansing. But God expects our obedience. The Scripture plainly says, to whomever you lend yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey. The Bible also says, man ought to obey God rather than men. And that's where the rubber meets the road. The most perfect form of worship is obedience. That's all God ever required of his people. And if we are truly washed in the blood of the Lamb, God writes his laws upon our hearts. He changes our nature. He changes our hearts. And when our hearts are changed and his laws are written upon our hearts and we become obedient to those laws, then we prove who it is that we obey. We prove who it is who is our God. And the system as it's designed in the world is designed to cause us to disobey him, to dispense with his laws altogether and to accept another man's law. And it's crunch time for Christians. We have to be able to identify who is in power in our lives, and we have to take a stand. And where man's laws contradict God's laws, we know it's the evil one who's trying to get control of our lives, just like the serpent did between Adam and Eve. You know, when Adam and Eve lent their members as servants to obey the serpent, God was pushed out of that marriage relationship, and Satan became, the serpent became the intermediary in the marriage. And each and every one of us have that decision to make every day, who we are going to lend our members as servants to obey. Are we going to obey man and man's laws? Are we going to obey the state when the state is the servant of the serpent? Or are we going to obey God? You see, it doesn't matter who you profess with your mouth. It is who you obey. God can't be deceived.
Hey, Tom.
He knows the contents of our heart, yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I don't mean to, because I really enjoy what you're here to say. But Leon has to leave. He has another commitment in about 10 minutes. Leon, thank you very much for sharing this hour with us, or so, more than an hour. Brother, thank you very much. I hope this we get together again soon. We have to talk more about your work and your faith. I hope it was edifying for you as much as it was for me. I'm sure for Tom as well.
Absolutely. Thank you, Michael.
It's so nice to hear you two men talk. It really is. It's a real pleasure. It's just not flattery. This is not me, stroking your ego. It really is. It's such a rarity to actually hear these type of conversations. I mean, to be honest with you, they're beyond rare. So,
thank you, Michael, and I want to thank you, Tom, for having me. And it's been good to get together with you and share the spirit together. And I want to encourage your listeners to taste and see that Yahuwah is good. We are nothing. My testimony is just my experience of what God's done in my life and what He's doing. I am nothing. Without Him, I am nothing. And I want to give all honor and glory to Yahuwah and to His precious Son, Yeshua, for coming to this world to save me, a sinner, and to save any other person out there that is really that wants to understand what the truth is. He will save you. Just reach out, and He is only a thought away. There's no formula that I can give you, because He knows exactly what your heart is. And if you reach out to Him in your mind, you say, God, teach me that you are true, He will reveal Himself to you. And it might be through this radio show, through Michael's work, through Tom's work. Doesn't matter who it's through. He uses us all, in spite of our weaknesses, to help others come to a greater knowledge of Him. So praise His holy name. Thank you, Michael, and thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Leon. God bless, brother.